We talked a little bit about justice yesterday, and we're going to talk a little bit, a lot more, I think, the following week. But as a refresher for today, justice is that sense you get when you feel a little imbalance, right? And so the great countries of the world, if you are a great country, almost without question, for those who study politics, study history, it's very hard to have a great country as defined by the people who live in that country, even without. But you must be a just country, which means you must have just laws. That means that there's equality, there's not prejudice, that if you are harmed, that there is compensation, that if you feel a little out of whack because of something that happened, if you commit a crime, then you pay for that crime. That is a just country. You don't get to bribe and seek a unfair advantage. And that's why Lady Liberty, right, is a symbol, a lady with a balance, right? And it has, so we, in a sense, write it. It's different than our view of fairness we have talked about in the past, and I won't go into that in depth today. But fairness is part of good fairness, is part of justice. Equality is part of justice. So that sense. So even the word righteousness is also used to mean justice or just. So God who is righteous is a God who is in every way just. There is a payment. That's why when Moses asked to see the glory of God, and when the glory of God passed by Moses, God declared, right, that he is full of mercy, yet he does not forgive the guilty, meaning without payment. So justice is actually eye for an eye, right? Eye for an eye. In the kingdom, Jesus comes and he declares a new law. The greatest country in the world, and perhaps in history, is probably America. Spends a lot of time talking about, right, our law, the Constitution, arguably the greatest. And the best we will ever do is to be a just country. There is no disagreement whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. You might disagree on exactly how you define justice or what is just, but no question that we should be a just country. But in the kingdom, the law is love. Goes not contrary to justice, but goes beyond justice. Goes beyond justice and requires sacrifice, a form of payment to satisfy justice, which is phenomenal. So in the kingdom, right? And yesterday, when we were talking about marriage, we witnessed marriage, right? And husbands, love your wives as himself. Meaning what? Himself, right? You will never feel that need for balance, right? We said, yeah, if I take you out to lunch 10 times and you never take me out to lunch, I can't be your friend because we're unbalanced. Unless we are one. And why? One means loving you as myself, right? Because I can take myself out to lunch 10 times and I will never be bitter at myself. I don't need the balance. Hence, loving yourself, okay, loving somebody as yourself means you have to be one with that person, to be considering them as one. And Scripture says love binds and makes us one. Jesus pray for this? This is the goal of the gospel, to be one. And so God establishes marriage to show us what that would look like. Right? And we have a difficult time. You have to work at it. It's hard to be one. Right? So that my disadvantage and my spouse's advantage is an advantage for the both of us. Because we're one. It's a shift in mentality. Just, it's like taking myself out. So if I do the dishes 10 times, it's actually the other way around. My wife does the dishes 10 times, right? And I do the dishes once, right? The dishes got done 11 times. Now a righteous person, right, would not take advantage of that. But needless to say, right, to love somebody as yourself, right, meaning it's a shift not just in mindset. There is a form of payment, a deposit into your emotional, right, spiritual account that has to be enabling you to pay that debt that is caused. So somebody's paying Ellen, okay, something, so that when I withdraw from her and she does something, that there is still justice. Love doesn't cancel justice. Love fulfills justice. It's a form of payment. That's important to understand. Love fulfills justice. That is why the Bible says God is just to forgive. Why? How can you be just? Because forgiveness is contrary to justice without a form of payment. That's why we're Christians. Right? Because somebody paid. Somebody paid. All right. We're going through the parables. And so we're at the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's a long-ish parable. We're going to read through it. I'll explain to you. We're going to talk about three points. One, we'll talk about the enormous amount of debt that has been forgiven us. It's in the parable. It's 10,000 talents. Because Peter actually ignites this parable. He's the reason Jesus is telling the parable, because he's having a difficult time forgiving. So Jesus uses the word 10,000 talents, which is really 200,000 years of debt. It's a lot. He compares that to 100 denarii, right, which is about 4 months worth of debt. All right, so let's read. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often would my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him. And for the same servant, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Interestingly, we talk about, right? That almost sounds as if like, well, is God kind of like an Indian forgiver? Right? We used to use that term, right? It's kind of prejudicial and derogatory, so I actually take it back. Meaning, I mean, okay, you forgave me. Now, like, you have conditions on these, okay? You have to be rich to forgive, okay? Now, I used to flip poems and things like that, right? I used to be like, you know, in the business. Like, I used to own homes and rent them out and, you know, things like that, right? And I got a lot of trouble doing it. And God was very merciful. So I had like these houses. Of course, it was paper thin, no margin at all for error. And we just brought on this family because, you know, Ellen thought, okay, you know, college girls renting the home, you know, sunbathing on the rooftop versus this poor homeschooling family, right? It turns out, the college girls would have paid because they have rich dads, and turns out these homeschooling family lies and lies and lies and doesn't pay their rent, right? And had declared bankruptcy. They lied about it. I thought that they would not repeat that mistake, but I guess, you know, they did. So they stopped paying rent. And, I mean, they lived in the lap of luxury, right? They bought, you know, they rented their big screen TV. They had cable subscription and, you know, just living large, right? And I was just like, now, of course, you know, God was teaching me at the time a lot about just being generous and forgiving, you know, this homeschooling family. And just as days turned to months, you know, months turned to months, they still wasn't paying. And so I started taking like 0% credit cards, transfers, and I started like transferring my debts to these other credit cards, and I was getting into debt. Like, now, just rewind. Now, if I had $1 billion in the bank, and that guy owed me his rent, I mean, I would be able to forgive the guy, the debt. Because here in the parable, forgiveness is equated to debt. Now, I don't look at it like that. It means that God created the system of loans and debt probably and primarily so that we may understand what forgiveness is, so that we would have a better idea of what the gospel means, right? And we will see that. But it is a system, okay, of debt. And so this parable goes on to depict this idea that this king was very wealthy and he could forgive debt. 10,000 talents, no problem. Not an issue, because there's a lot more where that came from. And of course, just kind of lead you to the end, right? The point is, we are very wealthy, right? We could afford this. We'll get to that a little bit later. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. So we're going to talk about this 200,000 years of debt that has been canceled for us, this idea of the 10,000 talents. So the point is, right, Peter is the one, right, because he's having a very difficult time forgiving. And he's the one, right, implied here, that has been forgiven 200,000 years of debt. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, and I just want to connect mercy. Mercy is the ability and the requirement, right, to now dole out to others. And so we'll see, it is because the currency here is love. Because God pours love, in that is mercy, so we're able to then dole it out. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespass, made us alive together with Christ. So God is the source. We love. We're able to love, right? To sacrifice and to invest. Because sacrifice means investment, right? It's not just seeking disadvantage. It's disadvantage for a greater return, right? There's no such thing as sacrifice just for loss sake, right? It all has a return. And we think, well, how about Jesus? He sacrificed for a greater return, right? Us, right? And being rich, so being rich in mercy because of the great love, which he, what? Loved us. So God, who is very rich, right? And great in love, he just poured it out to us. And so John 3:16 and 17, like we know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have the eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So what we deserved is justice, right? So we deserve the condemnation, but Jesus Christ comes and he pays, right, for that condemnation. Because of what? Because it stems from his love. Love is the currency. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom, which means payment. So Jesus became the payment for that debt. So when we commit wrong and do wrong against God, we owe God. And Jesus came and paid that payment. That's what ransom means. It's like a hostage. Okay, if you want your son, we'll just do an exchange here, right? You give me the money, I'll give you the son. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Right? So we might become just and balanced before God. Right? So Jesus Christ, right, who knew no sin, right, makes that payment, becomes, right? Becomes sin. And so the invitation is what? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may what? Receive mercy. Because God is rich in mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Now, a lot of times we feel reluctant to come to God because we feel like we have to kind of regret a little longer, you know, kind of maybe make up for some of this, be in a better shape, you know what I mean? So we just delay that. So maybe we stop coming to church, you know? Maybe we stop, you know, meeting up with the brothers and sisters. We're reluctant because there's just something, right? Or it could just be that there's just things I don't want to give up. I'm not there yet. But God is rich in mercy. And you see that scene in John when Jesus is washing, right, the disciples' feet. Peter's like, you're not washing my feet. Like, you're above this. No. Like, you think you're above having your feet only come to me. You need to constantly come to me, get your feet washed. Right? And what did he say? Or you'll have no part of me. We have to come before God and receive. Right? Now, it's in the bank account. If you're a believer, it's in your bank account. But you got to go and make the withdrawals. Right? That's what happens when you have to forgive. You got to go and make your withdrawal. It's there. If you say, oh, no, it's not. Okay. You're saying that Jesus Christ died and didn't put enough in the bank account. God promises that he's rich. Right? And so he's put it in the bank account. Here's the thing. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, this is the part that gets really interesting. Right? When I was a company commander, I had the dubious task of being in the Army, of being a debt collector. Now, it's a little different than an actual civil society, because when, as a company commander in the military, you have certain powers that are bestowed upon you. And one of those powers is the ability to garnish wages. So AFES, which is the PX, the department store for the Army, right? So a soldier goes, Private Snuffy goes, and gets, you know, they all did, like this ginormous stereo system, when ginormous stereo systems were in, okay? I mean, it was like the bigger the better. Stacks, you know, it was like racks of them too, right? In this dinky room, it was like 50% stereo, right? Now it's like, oh, Bluetooth speakers, like little dinky ones, right? It's different, right? And so, I mean, those rooms are just blasting, and they just love these hi-fi component stereos. And sure enough, because they're Private Snuffy, and they're making just nothing, and then, of course, they have a Lincoln Navigator also, and they just are leveraged to the max, debt coming out of their ears. So what do? Then the PX writes me a letter. Hey, Captain John, hey, you know, Private Snuffy in your unit is in debt up to his eyebrows, right? We need your action. Now, it would upset me because they know they have like this automatic debt collector who would garnish their wages, right? And I was kind of upset because in the civilian sector, right, I just didn't appreciate them giving credit cards and things like that to, you know, people that, you know, they know are not going to be able to pay back. So now, but they what? Owed, Private Snuffy is owed his wages. But now those wages, because he did not pay his debt, belongs to who? The PX. So what's owed Private Snuffy is now owed to the PX for several months. Now, they had to, obviously, he had to, you know, eat and things like that, so they didn't garnish everything. But his salary that was owed him no longer belonged to Private Snuffy. It belonged to the PX. If you've seen Korean drama, right? If you owe, you know, some mobster, or not mobster, but some bank, a lot of times it's a mobster, but if you owe the bank, okay, and you go and they, you know what they do? They come into your house and they put tags on all your furniture, right? Every little thing. And no longer are those things yours. What am I saying? All the debt owed to you is no longer your debt. It belongs to God. And all those payments are technically His. They are. Because you owe the king 10,000 talents. That dude over there only owes you 100. But who do you think that 100 belongs to? And so if the king says, forgiven, then technically that 100 denarii is forgiven. Why? How do we know this? Because it says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's my debt. I'll collect it if I want to collect. It's not yours. It's not your debt. We think that forgiveness is optional. You know who thought that? Peter thought that. It is not optional. It is not your debt. This is serious business. So, technically speaking, all the wrong that will ever be done to you for the rest of your life, no longer yours. Like, the debt belongs to God. The 1,000 apologies that are owed to you, okay, belongs to God. So we're not entitled. Not that we can't ask for it, right? But God places, right? Vengeance is mine. And He will repay according to His, right, sovereign plans. Now, not only did God, that just puts our debt, that just puts us at zero. But he did even more. He made deposits so that now not only are we not at zero, right? So now we're just at break even. No. He says, Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now we've become his children. Right? So now that we are just and righteous in his eyes, right? Because our debts are forgiven, God is pouring love into our hearts. Pouring it in. Not only that, Romans 5:35 says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Right? Now, usually, if you've had heaps and heaps of suffering, that makes you pitiful. That's where we get the word. Oh, what a pity, right? It devalues you, right? Somebody's oppressing you. That's what was happening, right? To the Jews, to the Christians, right? They were being oppressed. They were suffering. They were treated like worthless beings. But it does not put us to shame. And shame is the word for worthlessness. Because God's love, his worth, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So something that would make you just absolutely dejected and worthless and a nobody, because of the love of God, it actually makes us strong, gives us character. And it's like somebody who has suffered, who has been mistreated and battered, to imagine that they become greater than somebody who has not experienced any of that. That's unfathomable. Now, without the love of God, well, that's what happens. But with the love of God, you become even better. That's what Romans 5 says, right? We begin to develop character. We become more courageous and generous. Why? Because when you received injustice and then you just forgive, oh my goodness, who does that? You do. Kingdom people do, because you are wealthy, because you have a deposit. Here's the warning that Jesus gives us. It's indication that the indication of debt canceled is our ability to forgive that 100 or something of that nature, months worth of debt. We think that, you know, like we go to the bank to make our withdrawals. And then, right now, it's on hold. Some of this, right, as children, God disciplines us. He withholds peace, right? And there is, because leave your gift at the altar, go reconcile, and then come back. It's like, God is not, if you talk about unconditional love, nowhere in Scripture does it talk about unconditional love. I mean, you show it to me. Right? No matter what we do, no matter like, you know, we're like good and we're safe all the way to the end. Where does it say that? If you received mercy, something happens deep within. There is this loss of claim upon the debts that are owed you. That's what happens. And that's what Jesus said. That is an indication that your claim on the debts that are owed you are released. That's why Matthew 5:7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's conditional. Something happened deep inside that you become merciful. If you're a kingdom person, you know, you relinquish the right to be bitter. Hold them in contempt. Right? and say, vengeance is yours, God. Right? Luke 6:34. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. It's not a suggestion. And it's not somebody else that said it. It's Jesus who says these things, right? Just be merciful. There's a spirit of forgiving debt. Lend is as if there's no expectation of return. There is a generosity that is engraved deeply when you are forgiven 10,000 talents, right? It's just our problem. Because we love ourselves, and debt escapes us. I mean, we have communion so that we remember what? The blood, right? That was shed for us. We remember the body that was broken for us. We remember the great payment that was made upon our great debt. That's what communion is. If you have communion and you leave communion and you're no better at forgiving or no better at being generous, you didn't have communion. You didn't have worship. Right? And I'll go over why I say that. And here's how wisdom is defined. Remember? Right? It says, if you lack wisdom, go and ask God. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Right, entering right into like wisdom for conflict here. Gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness, this justice, is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. Who are proactive. To seek to apologize, to seek to forgive. That's those who are active, right? To seek peace are wise. You know, like there are times, you know, when I think I offended somebody, right? And I'm just like, nah, you know, I like, you know, it's like, man, forget him, man. Like, you know, it's like a little too sensitive. You know, like slow, I justify it, right? To get over it. Or, right? Instead of apologizing or seeking to see if he was hurt. Or the other way. You know, just like, you know, there's, man. Because what happens when you don't forgive, it builds up actually prejudice. Prejudice defined as being impartial. I mean, being partial. What happens when you don't forgive is you build up, right, this idea. And that happens with Ellen and I. If I don't forgive, then something that happened, then I will then use whatever it is, that unforgivable situation, and then I'll try to apply it, whether it fits or not, right, into the current situation. And it's kind of like I lost something. Surely, you know, my sister, I get angry because I've been looking everywhere and I can't find it. You know, my brother took it because he always wears my stuff. Why would you think that? Because he has a habit of that. But how do you know you should apply that? You feel a right to apply it. It's fault. Now, how missing something? It's his fault. Now, how many of you thought it was somebody else taking something and then found out, oh, it wasn't him or her? I've done that. My mom did that. You know, I'm like angry at her already. Right? But it was actually me, like a knucklehead. Right? I misplaced it. I put it somewhere else. I didn't remember. That's prejudice. You have no business. Oh, because that person looks like this. Oh, they're going to... Why would you say that? Just because somebody's reaching in their pocket to take something out doesn't mean you get to shoot them. Every situation deserves a just interpretation. You don't bring the baggage of history to apply to your current situation. Okay? Full impartial. It's not up to us to be partial. You have to be impartial to that situation. Harvest of righteousness. Because one of the things, when I become impartial, or when I become partial, right, then that interpretation, what hurts us is not the actual event. What hurts us is our interpretation. So in conflict, we do this all the time. Right? Our prejudices, our connection from the past to the present, whether it's true or not, as we begin to fight along those lines, we become partial and prejudiced. And so sow discord and not peace. God doesn't even want to have dialogue and fellowship until you resolve this. Matthew 5:23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Two scenarios. It means that whatever the offense is, go. At first, the scenarios, seek where you can apologize. Seek where you can apologize. Seek where you can make amends. Right? Seek how, right, you can sow peace. The other thing is, hey, if you harbor something, right, unforgiveness, it's not optional. God is saying go and make peace and then come back. Let's have fellowship. Just remember, brothers and sisters, it's always, the gospel is always a three-way conversation with God. Whatever you do unto the least of them, you have done unto me. You cannot harbor bitterness, right, and seek a mano-el-mano relationship. It doesn't work that way, right? Just like if you have children, right? If they hate each other, it's not going to work. Have a close relationship with me, that's not going to work. Matthew 9:13, okay, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. God loves us to be generous with his money. He does, because it's not our money. But he wants us to spend it, not keep it in the bank account. If God wanted us to keep it in the bank account, okay, we wouldn't be here. He wants us to spend his money. Be out there being generous and forgiving and merciful. Being humble. That's what he desires, for us to be merciful. Now, this is so serious with God, it is part of the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And here's the thing. Of all the six components of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, right after the Lord's Prayer, goes back to the fifth one, which is to forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. He goes back, and he thinks we're going to have the problem with that one. Right? And then he says, and then he expounds on that one, on the fifth one. It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I've met people who have resolved in their hearts that they're not going to forgive somebody. And if they go on and on like that, and they die that way, it is the most pitiful thing. You can't. That means you will not have fellowship with God until then. Unforgiveness is the barrier to fellowship with God. Leave your gift at the altar and go. I'm not going. Then keep your gift. Because I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Right? Now that is the sign that you are a wealthy person. And because you are a wealthy person, right? Love does not envy. Right? Which means what? The love and the currency of love that I have far exceeds what anybody else in this world could ever give me. I don't need anything. Right? You know, of course I need food, things like, you know, what I'm saying is I am all sufficiently provided for to be able to do, right? I just go to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And he's more than generous to provide. In summary, God forgave our unfathomable amount of debt and sin. Moreover, we have been declared righteous before God as his children and bestowed unfathomable riches. We are reminded that our debts and sins against us are not our own. We are commanded to forgive our debtors. Not only forgive, but be merciful and generous to those who hurt us, becoming more and more like Christ. No greater privilege than to know Christ in his suffering, in his sacrifice, and the way he loves those whom he has placed in our midst. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we lack such faith that your love is sufficient for us. That we have such abundance of mercy. God, that we just lose sight, God, of all the debts that have been canceled on our behalf and all the mercy that is at our disposal. I just pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to just come as we pray, as we worship, that you would, Lord, help us, God, to repent. God, if there's any unforgiveness here, God, in our hearts, any remnant of partiality and prejudice, God, help us, God. If we stereotype people, God, if we just pour out, God, your mercy upon us as we repent. Grant repentance, your God. God, that we would be generous and caring and loving, God. Just, and so, Lord, stir us to great affection. God, only you can do that. Draw us, have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy on us, God. And forgive us, God, our debts, as we forgive those who debt against us. In Jesus' name.